And he wanted to get kicked out of the class. That was this whole thing. And
he wanted out.
Yeah. And I knew that. And I was like, I'm not kicking him out. So what I did instead was I grabbed my chalk. And then as a class, we wrote down everything he said on the board. I made him take out paper. And we wrote everything he said on the board, which was fucking brutal to go back to. And just be like, and then what did he? Yes. Yes. He did talk about my ass. Yes, he did.
Wow. Okay.
And then we went through the whole thing and we corrected the grammar on it. And I made him write it down. And I looked at him after and I was like, the next time you want to curse out an English teacher, either use proper grammar or shut the fuck up. What a crazy day. When I kiss the future, all my sins have gone away. When I kiss the future, my whole flesh will lie. As I held my breath, the words were still, but then he just smiled. I have seen the seventh heaven when I kiss the teacher.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I'm Ari Shaffir. Let's start the episode. Let's go as fast as we can in the introduction. Amy Shenker came on. She's a comedian in New York. She's a former school teacher in Chicago, public school system. She taught in inner city, so she hated her fucking job. So you know it's going to be a good episode. Let's start. You can follow her at Amy Shenker on Instagram. Get off Twitter. And that's it. Let's start. Oh, real quick, my dates. Amy Shenker is not only a very funny comedian who did a guest set for me in Denver, but also is the proud owner of my former Volcano bong. You know those vapor bongs? Yeah, she owns it. I had a yard sale for all comedians and she took it. Well played, Amy. Well played. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp. .com. It's online therapy. So if you guys aren't feeling your best, aren't gabbing with your friends all day and just feeling jovial like you were when you're 16, maybe you're fucked up. And BetterHelp.com can help you. It's online therapy, way cheaper than regular in-person therapy. None of the lines, none of the commutes, none of the getting yourself out of bed. But like, can I fucking do therapy? I mean, can I even do it today? I already paid the fucking money. And still, as I can't get out of bed, you don't have to do that with BetterHelp. Just do it from bed. Just set up your computer over there. Have no pants on. It doesn't matter. That might be something they bring up. But if it's not, then enjoy it. No pants therapy. Only at BetterHelp.com. And if you use the promo code Ari, check out BetterHelp.com/Ari. BetterHelp.com/Ari. You get 10% off your first month. Guys, I've had multiple friends do this and it has really helped both of them. So get in there. It could be anxiety, it could be depression, could be like, I don't know, any of the fucking 75 different kind of crazies. You know, get in there and get your help. It's like there's no reason to fucking suffer from this shit anymore. Get some help. It's whatever. All right, you get it. It's way cheaper. It's not a fucking crisis hotline. It's online therapy. Do it. BetterHelp.com/Ari. Hey guys, today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by drugs. 3-Chi. It's like THC, but it's Delta 8. It's like weed, but it's not. Do you guys know what Delta 8 is? Just try it and find out. It's like weed, but it's not. It spreads this shit over your whole fucking body. I take the gummies. They also have vapes, tinctures, and oils. You can get all of them at the number 3CHI.com. That's the number 3Chi.com. That's right. Make tinctures. Make oils. Make your own fucking tinctures if you're so inclined. I would just get gummy bears and eat them and fucking blast off. Yeah. It's not THC. It's federally legal. That's what it is. It's a federally legal version of THC. But I don't know. It's Delta 8. It's like different. I don't know how to explain it to you. I'm not a scientist, but it's drugs. That's what you can trust me on. Ari, what goes into making Delta 8 THC? Answer. I don't know. Ari. Is Delta 8 THC from 3G.com drugs? Yes, it is drugs. Ari, can I get a percentage off if I use promo code Ari at checkout from 3chi.com? Yes, you get 5% off your first order. Ari, should I operate heavy machinery on this? No, you should not. Ari, will I? I don't. I mean, if you're asking this, then probably you will. I don't, but you probably will if that's what you're asking. Ari, where was 3chi.com made? America. Ari, have you ever masturbated 4 times in 1 hour? Yes, I have. Ari, have you ever masturbated 6 times in 1 hour? Yes, I have. Ari, have you ever masturbated 5 times in 1 hour? No, I have not. Skipped right over it. I've done 6, 7, 4, and 3 many, many times. Ari, how much do I get off at 3chi.com when I get Delta ATHC? 5% off your order. All right, you pretty much get it all. Now back to the episode. Real quick, all my dates for March. Salt Lake City, Fort Wayne, Indiana, with Bobby Kelly and BJ Oakerson. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, both of those with Bobby Kelly, BJ Oakerson. All tickets at arishafir.com. And then in April, we got Scott Appleton, Wisconsin, St. Louis, Buffalo, Louisville in May. And then June will be something in New York. And then also announcing soon. And then also June 17th, 18th in Minneapolis and Chicago. Pre-sale will be in about a week. Follow me at Ari Shaffir on Instagram for details on that. And that's it. Let's start the episode. Ari, ladies and gentlemen, it's a quick one. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 460, I think. Teacher's Pet with Amy Shanker. Starts now. Let's talk about your teacher stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I taught for 13 years.
13 years. Did you get pension?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, yeah. And okay. I took that out immediately because CPS. What? I taught in Chicago Public Schools.
Okay.
And they're pretty broke, you know, like every school district.
Yeah. Oh, you thought they were going to be like, we're not going to pay that?
Yeah. I thought that by the time I would pull it, they'd just be like, oh, we don't have any money left though.
Yeah. That's what happened to like Pontiac and all those people during the 2008.
Yeah, exactly. And so I flipped it. I just rolled it right over.
How do you do that?
If you don't touch it, you don't have to pay taxes. Like if you don't take it out, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Until when? Never?
Until you do at the very end when you start using it.
But by then the interest is accrued.
Right.
With hella.
Lotta. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what I did was I just went like basically from CPS. I went from their department to a guy that my family uses. And he just flipped it.
Juice. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Really have to do a nice community
for
that.
Everything.
Especially we have other people who are like, what are you doing? Are you flipping that? Like, I don't know what that is. Like, oh, come here. We can help you. 13 years. How many years did you get until you got pension?
The pension starts right away, but you can't.
So like if you did 1 year,
so
you
like
get a pension?
They start, you can pull, it's not going to be a lot of money, but you can pull it out. I don't even think that I would bother rolling that over really if it was just a year. Like I taught for 13 and I think I came out with maybe 70.
Thousand?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it's every year is a pension. I thought they pay you every year. A pension, I thought it was they, like you get like a
no,
bit
no.
of a salary.
Oh, well,
every
your
year.
Pension, like you're paying into your pension, basically.
Yeah.
And then when you retire, you get that pension back. So You don't touch the money until after you're done.
Wait, I thought a pension was like, if when cops get a pension, like they get, if it's 20-year mark, I think it's 20 years, then it's like this number and you get paid that every month forever.
If they're done, yeah, but if they're not done, they'll probably still keep paying into their pension.
Yeah, right. They keep paying, but it's like, it's a salary though. Once you're retired, you get a salary.
Right.
That's not what you got.
Ish. I mean, I don't think it's enough to... Mine wouldn't have been enough to live off of, you know?
I heard a cop, if you get to like 20 years, if you're a cop, I might be wrong, but I heard you get like 70% of your salary. Just
really?
Forever.
That I could see. I don't think that it's the same for teachers.
That makes sense.
Because we're less respected.
Yeah. How did that feel, by the way? Because they always say how teachers are the most important thing, but then you guys don't get treated
we're
at all.
Not the most important thing.
Yeah.
No, not at all. We get treated horribly, I think. I don't. But then, like, I wanted to stand up and pick the one profession
that gets
where
treated
you're treated worse.
Worse
and paid less.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I was with Chicago Public, and I grew up in Kansas City, so I went from Kansas City to Chicago. I started teaching on the West Side, and I just stayed on the West Side for a long time. People don't think the West Side is as dangerous as the South Side, but I would say it probably is. It's a little, like, everyone always talks about the South Side of Chicago.
That's where the murders are.
Yeah, like, that's where they all are. Like, they're just right there. They're everywhere.
Puppy dreams.
Nice.
That's a dream bark.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's she? I guess she can't tell you.
Sometimes I see it moving.
Is it a nightmare, do you think, or just a happy dream?
It's a long one. I'm not sure it's a long one, though. I feel like happy dreams. She barks when she's happy, and then she, like, it's the wrong way to express herself, because she'll, like, bark at some new person, and they're like, oh, and then she's like, come over and lick him. She's just, like, excited that someone's like, she barks.
How old is she?
2.5.
Aw.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. First of all, do you have a pen? You don't have one, do you?
No.
I fucked up. It's okay. Maybe there's one in here. They say teachers are the most important thing. They raise our kids and everything like that, right?
Right, right.
Such and such. Let me give you a counter argument to this.
Okay.
You are the most replaceable people.
Yeah. It depends on...
Aren't a lot of teachers reading out of a fucking planner?
Exactly. Like, I think that it depends. You can say that, and I do think that that's true for a lot of teachers. But I don't... I guess it just depends on the quality of education you want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, charter schools don't have to hire teachers with backgrounds and like, education at all.
What's
like
a charter school?
Even a degree. A charter school is basically, like, you have private schools, you have public schools, you have charter schools. And charter schools are basically, you apply to get into them. They're city schools, but you have to apply to get into them. And they're run by businesses. So it's not...
It's not private.
It's not, no. Well, I guess it's a type of private, but it's not like, you know, like one of those rich private schools, if that makes sense.
I went to a rich private.
Okay.
But that was religious private. Religious private.
You went to religious. Yeah. I went to just a regular public, but the charter, it's owned by a company and they want to make money basically from it. And I don't really understand how they make money from it, but they somehow do.
Yeah. Who's... Are they paying every year? No, it's just some business.
Charter schools don't pay teachers as well as public schools do because they don't have the same like government laws. Basically, they don't have to follow the same standards.
Oh, so they get to beat their kids?
And you don't have contract, like it's, and they don't have unions. It's a mess.
Whoa. I remember that they said when I was, they said the teachers we got were worse. At teaching, but
well, because
but they
you
were held
don't,
to a higher standard.
You don't need degrees to teach at a private school or a charter school, but you do at a public school. But a degree can also be like a TFA, like Teach for America type of thing.
When I took a test to be a substitute, and the test was retarded.
Really?
How easy it was.
Yeah.
It was like, I was so bored taking it, like my ADD kicked in, because it was just like busy work answers. It was nothing like, it wasn't like challenging at all.
Like you do when you're a sub.
I mean, it was like 2 plus 7, 7 times 2.
Are you serious?
It was like the easiest math, the easiest reading comprehension, that it was like, it just became a chore to do the test.
Yeah.
It wasn't at all mentally annoying, like testing. So I'm like, I think like you would have to have been like, I pictured it 10th grade education. That's what I was guessing, like what it would be, what they were actually testing for.
Wow, I bet it was lower, in all honesty. What were the could reading be questions
I
like?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember like tuning out. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, oh shit, I got to do this. And then you said you had to have a college degree.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, but the test was like, what kind of college degree? The test was so bad.
Look at all the colleges out there though.
I know, but
you know, they're really, a lot of them are horrible. Trump had a university.
Trump did have a university.
It was a university.
Dude, I just saw this thing about Trump. Wow. You ever watch Adam Curtis?
Mm-mm.
Adam Curtis makes these documentaries. They're so cool. Century of the Self is the first one I saw. It's like a 6-parter, but it's all about how advertising started with propaganda in the World War II. And then these guys, one of them was Freud's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And then war was done, right? So they didn't need propaganda to get like the Germans to be like, turn against your people, you know, whatever they use the propaganda for. But like, we can still use this. So like, well, let's use it for marketing. But they're like, we can't say propaganda because that's a bad word. So they just changed it to like PR, public relations. They just changed the name.
Really?
It's just propaganda though. And so then they said when advertisements started going from like a Steinway piano. At first, the advertisement, you know, was just like chalk drawings.
Yeah.
At first, it was just like, it will last. It will sound good and it will last. It's Steinway. It's quality.
Right.
And then the ads moved to like, people want some other thing. So they have like a family around a Steinway. So now Steinway represents, you'll have a great family life, which it can't possibly deliver on. That's unrelated to the Steinway.
Right. Have you ever tried playing the piano with a child? Brutal.
So then you'll see like car ads now. Well, someone will like be driving, the guy from like True Detective will be driving like freedom. 4 trucks. And you're like, what do you mean freedom? What does this have to do with freedom? It either gets you where you're going or not. Good gas mileage, not good gas mileage. And then they start applying that same shit to politics. And then people start voting not for their best interests, but just for what seems cooler.
Yeah.
And they go,
for
that's
what
the
they
end of
recognize.
Democracy.
That's, mm-hmm, it's what's recognizable as home for people. They're so comfortable with that and they just don't think at all. It's horrible.
Yeah. And so they're not voting in their best interest, which is what you need for, you need an informed voting group that votes for their best. So it's like, if I'm a farmer and I don't want embargoes on corn, I want, you know, subsidies, whatever, but I get this leader, a senator or congressman or president who's like, he wears overalls, but meanwhile he just works for the bank and he's mm-hmm gonna sell us out. But I'm like, that overall guy, he's one of us.
He knows me.
But it's like, he's not gonna help you. So that's what Trump did. He represented a lot of like poor people. And then Dave Chappelle's like, thanks for getting me a tax cut, poor whites. You know.
I mean, seriously, it really is though. It's and they, a lot of people still don't see it or realize the situation.
Yeah. But this next documentary, they said when he made all his money, it's called the hypernormalization. But they said he made all his money because New York was going bankrupt because all the middle class fled in like the 70s.
Yeah. And white then, flight.
I guess so. It's like before my time here, but they took all their tax dollars with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the city just had to keep borrowing money from the banks. And eventually the bank's like, no. We're not giving any more money.
Oh, so then he started?
They took control of the city. The banks took control of the city. They made a panel like, well, you owe us all this money, so we should get some say on what's going on. So banks ran the city based on profits instead of based on any. So they just laid off tons of cops, tons of nurses, tons of teachers.
Yeah.
Because they're like, it's not cost effective. We don't need this right now.
And then classrooms grow into these huge sizes. Test scores drop.
Uh-huh.
There's no funding because you're not getting the test scores. And mm-hmm then you lose money from the government. And then you can't buy books. So your test scores continue to
plummet.
Drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, this is not profitable. But it's like.
Right.
And no part of them's like, hey, crime's up. Like, that has nothing to do with profits. So then Trump right then came in and got all these tax breaks to go build high rises and bring the rich back in. Massive tax breaks. So he paid almost nothing. Got loans from the banks, no taxes, built all these high rises, built New York into what it is now, made the rich come back because now he made place for them.
Right.
Fucking who cares about the poor? You know, they went to like ghettos and like near here. Shit like that. That's what happened at Topkin Square Park and shit like that. Become yeah. a heroin den where like just the, where the mayor's like, don't even go there. It's not worth going. I can't protect you there.
Now Biden's like, here's more needles. Stay.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're right. Yeah. But it was just like how he made his money. I'm like, that's great. He saw an opportunity and just fucking took it.
It's smart.
Yeah.
It's probably the smartest thing he's ever done.
Probably. I heard that once. It said all he did once was like buy New York real estate and it just happened to get big. But the way Adam Curtis says, like, no, it didn't just happen to get
right. He like
it was one smart move, but that was it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'll send you the link for it. They're great. They're great.
Dude, does it make you like him? Did it make you like him more or less?
Irrelevant. I guess
respect him.
Yeah, I respect him more because what they said was like he just happened to buy some New York and then New York became popular. It was like, oh, I didn't know, but it's like that was a miss. That wasn't given to me right.
Yeah, because all I had heard was like his dad gave him money,
uh-huh.
and then he lost it somehow and like got more. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. I know rappers used to love him.
Yeah.
Before he became president, rappers loved Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And a lot of movies like Home Alone. I think it's
he was in that.
Stems from yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. Didn't they stay at Trump? Didn't he get a room at Trump Towers?
At Trump Towers. And he like asked for directions or something and Trump was like or I don't remember the scene.
Something like
I just
that.
Know he's in it for sure.
He was just a rich celebrity. I remember playing Trump the
that's
game.
That's all it was. There's a game.
Trump the game. We played it. It was like Monopoly, but yeah. like more high level. Right. I liked it. Me and my friends played it and we played a lot.
Oh no.
I gotta find it again. Trump the game.
I saw it in a store in LIC. Right.
Oh, really?
On like Trump where the game? Yeah, where the old standing room was on that uh-huh. street.
That standing room
maybe
sucked.
A block. Oh, horrible.
It was so bad. and then the stand is like, we'll buy it. And then it's like okay. They're like, we're gonna completely redo it. And then you're like, they just changed the wallpaper.
And pivot the stage.
Oh my God, it sucked. You're playing to one person.
Yeah.
One person, and one person. And
you know the benefit of teaching, I will say, is yeah. that I was just fine with because
you're ready.
I'm just used to 35, 45 kids sometimes. Yeah.
Guys, can I just tell you about my stand-up comedy shows real quick? Denver was fucking sick. 9 sold-out shows. I'm having so much fun with stand-up right now. It's just the best thing in the world. And the crowds are out. They're happy. Just to be out again. I'm happy to be performing again. The new hour is fucking sick. Oh, you guys got to come see a show. You just got to. Let me just tell you my dates. Get a ticket right now at arishafir.com. There's a link right there in the description of this fucking episode. I'm doing shows with Bobby Kelly and Big J Okerson in the end of March 24th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Summit City Comedy Club, Grand Rapids on March 25th at 20 Monroe Live, and the Fillmore in Detroit, Michigan, March 26th. Me, Bobby Kelly, Big J Okerson, tickets are at arishafir.com. And then I've got Appleton, Wisconsin, at Skyline Comedy Club. I've got St. Louis Helium, Buffalo Helium at the end of the month, last 2 weekends of the month. And then in May, I just got Louisville. I forgot what it's called. Louisville Comedy Club? One of those. Tickets are at arishafir.com. And then on sale next week will be Minneapolis and Chicago, which is in June. June 17th, 18th. And then save early June for New Yorkers. June 10th, June 11th. This is a tease. Save that. That's it, you guys. Go to arishafir.com for tickets right now. Don't wait till the last minute because shows have been selling out. We can't add 9 shows like we did in fucking Denver. That's not normal. So get tickets now, arishafir.com. Figure out which of your degenerate friends you want to bring to see one of the worst comics in America telling horrible jokes to terrible people. I'm Ari Shaffir, and this is about my stand-up comedy. Now let's get back to the episode. How do you not let people slip through the cracks?
It's hard. Well, because, I don't know, you really have to, like, I was more of a tough love type of teacher. Like, I really didn't mess around with my kids. If they were messing up, I would, I was, like, not mean to them, but I was harsh with them in a way that would help them get their shit together, I guess, you know?
Just, like, do it. What do you mean? Like, what would you
do?
Yeah,
like, this isn't an option. This is, like, if you want to have, like, a life, these are things that need to happen, X, Y, and Z. And one of those things is that you need to get out of my class by graduating, you know, like I taught seniors. And so like I was kind of that one in their core level class. And yeah. So it's like, if you're not passing my class, you're not getting your diploma. And so if you don't get your diploma, let's look at how your life is going to turn out. And I would always give my kids like this chart about like, here's how much money you make without a high school diploma. Here's what you make with one. Here's a community college degree, an associate's. Here's a bachelor's. Here's a master's.
There was a chart?
It was forever ago. But the amount of difference.
Median income based on.
Is crazy. Diploma, really. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, before I worked as a teacher, I worked in a group home for like delinquent teenage boys.
Did you do the losers? Like, why did you fall?
Because I don't
teach MFA with a focus in failures. Yeah.
Let's turn your life around. I don't know. I feel like I don't need to help a kid who already has as much help as he possibly could have. You know, like I'd rather help kids that were just stuck.
That what do you mean? Oh, right.
And a lot of, you know, kids.
Is it just where they stuck you, or did you legitimately like want to help?
Oh no,
kids?
I applied to this school.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
And I worked at one school for 4 years. I worked at another one for, I guess 9 years. Yeah. And I helped them get like Gates scholarships, go to college. A lot of them have moved on to become teachers, actually.
No way.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Do you keep in touch with them?
I do. They come to my comedy shows when I go back to Chicago.
No.
Yeah.
That's
They'll
pretty
sit
cool.
front row. I was like, I was at the Laugh Factory and like 10 kids came and sat front row. I was like, you guys never sat in the front. Now you do. And I said something about like how my old students are having kids on purpose now. And all of the kids just turned to one girl and looked at her. She was like, I know. All right.
Who had a kid just
in
like,
high school, oh just said, oops. But
did that happen a lot?
Oh yeah. A whole lot.
That's the end of your life.
Done.
Right?
Done.
It's all a different trajectory.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how you parent, you know, a lot of my, students were being raised by their grandparents, and so they didn't really see an issue with also having that happen.
Oh, because like my grandparents like, will just take care of it.
Yeah,
for me
a lot of the time, and sometimes they would be like great parents, but then their school they drop out eventually, or their grades aren't where they need to be to get into a better school, at least not on a scholarship or anything. It's just a real catch 22. Because they want, a lot of kids have kids because they want that unconditional love because they don't grow up with it. And they think that if they have a baby that they'll be loved by the baby and needed. And that is, a lot of the psychology behind it does stem from that type of situation.
I mean, not wrong though.
No.
Yeah, you will get that love.
Right, right. But it just comes with so many things that you lose.
I mean, this dog is too much responsibility for me and I'm like, you know, successful.
Right. And you don't have to go to school full time and right. also work to
and
raise a kid.
And learn social shit too. Like right. how to be a human.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. I remember teaching one year and there was this like, you know, all these, well, gangs recruit a lot at the beginning of the school year. And then.
Really?
Yeah, because they see like that it's their time, it's their chance to basically see the incoming freshman who's like, you know, walking alone, who doesn't really have a group or anything like that, and kind of try to bring them in.
That's when frats, another gang, does the same thing.
Another gang, yeah, the frats. Yeah.
It's early
police.
Police do it too.
And so
wait, how do they? Shit, do they come to school to recruit?
I mean, they kind of like wait outside of the school, yeah, and like just. Lean against post up against a corner in their corner or on a car or whatever, and they just watch for like a little while and then they start, you know, recruiting them. And it's like, it just sucks to see a kid fall into that like type of life because you're like, oh, you were going straight for everything good in your life, and then you just veered off because you wanted like this group of built in friends. Same which they think is what a gang same is, basically. Friends. Yeah.
The students, and suddenly you're like, ugh, nobody cares about school at all.
Right.
You're like, with these friends, you're like, we can go to the parties. And you're like, you can go to the parties anyway. I guess gangs are different. Can't really go to the gang parties unless you're...
You can't... I mean, you can, but you have to be, like, dating a gang member, I think.
Yeah.
So it depends on, you know, your situation, maybe.
Yeah. Damn.
But it's like, you know, it can be... We had, in my school, in my first school, we had probably, like, four gangs, I would say. And then, but they had all...
Well, okay, so when you say a gang, does that mean Bloods and Crips, or is it, like, a smaller group?
They're like, smaller group. Like the Disciples, like that type of stuff. Or we had like real small ones, like Four Corner Hustlers, like, or we had the Kings in one school that I was in, and so, which is a huge one, but like they had all managed to figure out how to be okay with each other, at least during school.
Yeah.
But then when the charter school started coming in from Rahm Emanuel, he came in, he was the mayor for a little bit, and ugh, horrible though. Like
bad bear, right? I remember him thinking, wasn't he like an appointee of Obama?
Yeah.
And then he got like crooked later.
So what I heard was that Michelle didn't like him and she was like, get him out of here. And then he went back to Chicago.
Really?
That's the rumor, but I don't know if it's true or not.
Have you ever heard the rumor that Michelle Obama is trans?
No. I mean, yeah, I've heard
it. You have heard it.
I don't see it. Do you?
Yeah. When you see it in that light.
You do?
Yeah.
She has guns, though, I will
say
that.
She has guns. Once you see it, it's hard to unsee it in certain, especially the people who made the montage. They're leaving out the stuff where she looks very womanly.
And right.
And they're only using the ones where she does not look womanly. There's one clip on Ellen where she's dancing, and you pretty much see some outline of something in her pants.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's like way taller than everybody. And just
you think she has a schmeckle?
I don't. But it's an interesting idea.
Okay.
Fuck, this kills. Oh, this is not set right at all.
It doesn't look comfortable.
Oh, I mean, it's not comfortable. These aren't like hiking shoes.
Maybe it's because you're just at the wrong angle in them.
It may be. I mean, I got to break them in. I might have to go take them to this fucking stupid shop.
Can a shop break them in?
Yeah, these are Surefoots. They go in there and like shave them where they have to. And like,
oh, do that.
They're great, yeah.
How much were these boots?
A couple hundred.
Okay.
Not crazy. Maybe 400.
No. Not horrible.
Maybe 6 with the heaters. But damn, that left one. The right one was hurting.
Is your left foot bigger?
I don't know. It's just like, you know, like if this is your foot, like this part, the bridge part.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
That's hurting. So it's
and
like
there's
really
no way to make it looser?
Well, I mean, if I'm skiing like this. It's still pretty tight. I'm like leaning forward, but it's still fucking tight as shit.
I don't think you should go.
Thanks, Amy. I appreciate it. Did you ever have a student?
Yes.
Did you play favorites?
Yeah.
You had to, right?
Oh, of course.
There must have been a charismatic
kid. I played least
kids.
Favorites, too.
Yeah.
I would make my kids like run to my class though. They, I think this was illegal, but I would have them like, if they were late, I'd have them stand in the back of the room for like 3 times the amount they were late and they had to keep track of the time.
Really?
And that's when I learned a lot of them couldn't tell time on a clock. So we had to,
they couldn't tell time on a clock.
No.
I mean, reading I see is I can't tell the time on a clock. What
they're
age
like,
was
how
I when
do I
start?
Know when to sit down? I'm like, well, figure it out. I'm like, but if you sit down early, you're starting over. And they would run to my class every day because I was just so tired of kids coming in late that I was like, nah.
Could a kid ever just go, no, I'm not going to stand?
Oh, then be like, oh, then there's the door. Go. Bye.
And then they get in trouble with their parents?
Yeah. No, I would call home a lot because you just have to protect your own self, you know, or you're gonna like you have nothing to stand on. And so I mean, they would, no one really ever said no. They were kind of like, all right, kids don't want to be left to their, they need discipline, and deep down they do know that they need to be like kind of given guidelines of or they just don't know how to act.
Yeah.
And so I think that having like rules that they know what to expect daily and consistently, they just need it. Everyone kind of needs it.
Yeah, that's what Loki said. People need to be led. from X-Men.
Well, have you ever really, like, not X-Men. Have you ever just walked into a situation though with no direction and no one to tell you how to do?
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable, and you're probably going to mess it up. And
then you look around, like, what do I do here? You look
right
for someone.
And so it's just everyone needs a little guidance, and kids, I mean, need the most, obviously. But
did that give you a sense of power?
No, it was frustrating. It's super frustrating to be a teacher because you don't get the help that you need. There's no funding. The first school that I taught in, the first day,
no funding. Oh,
I would say the day before all of my students came, I was hired as an English teacher, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, we also need you to teach this writing class. We need you to teach a business class, and we need you to teach this history class." And all of that is very illegal because I'm not certified in it. But there's just no help. They had nothing. They had nobody. And so I'm like, I don't know the first thing about business. History, I'm like learning with them. It's like, oh, this is cool.
Do you just follow the planner? Do you just follow the book?
There's like, no real planner. I mean, I made my own all the time. And then the reading, I had to teach a reading class and there were no books. And I'm like, how are we supposed to read?
Oh, you're talking about this at New York Club.
Oh yeah. And they're like, you just have to figure it out.
What do you mean no books?
No books, not one book.
What does that mean? That doesn't make any sense.
It means that there were literally, they had no book for the reading class to.
Wait, this is so hard for me to understand.
I had to make copies, photocopies. I just had to go online and find stuff that was like appropriate for their age, make copies for everyone. And then we would pass out
like a chapter of a book.
Basically, and then we just keep going through
This or is articles so much different
or
than
short
like-
stories. This is what happens when there's like, so to get funding in schools, you have to have higher test scores. To get higher test scores, you have to be able to educate the kids. And to do that, you need material. It's just like just this huge circle that eats.
So if you don't get high test scores, you don't get money.
You don't get as much money, yeah.
Right. So then like, but if you're not, it's almost though like if you don't get high test scores, you need more money.
Exactly. And you know, and the other thing about test score and testing in general that it blew my mind when I first started teaching was like these kids would come out, they'd be prepped for the test, like good to go. And then they would call me over and they'd be like, if the question is like eliminate the wrong answer, they'd be like, what's eliminate mean? And I'm like, oh shit.
Damn.
And I'm not allowed to tell them.
Have you ever tried to not curse on a podcast?
No.
I've tried it once recently in Jeremiah's podcast. It is, because you have to be mindful of
every word.
Do you
want me to try?
No. But I'm saying like, it must be the same way where you're like, eliminate this. Like, what is eliminate? Like, rule out this
get rid
option. Rule out this thing. You're like, it's almost like you have to concentrate on your words to be able to like, that must be hard.
The wrong. I didn't let my kids curse in class, and I didn't curse in class either, usually.
I was a teacher,
I guess.
you
know, I would sometimes because they'd be like, oh, she's serious. But
shut the fuck up.
Like, God damn it.
<And they're> like, where'd you go, Ms. Shanker?
Yeah, Shanker. Ms. Shanker. They would, once in a while, they'd be like, hey, Amy. I'm like, nah, let's try that again.
Yeah. Did you ever hit any of them?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. I would. I'd want to.
It's hard to not hit a kid. You shouldn't hit a kid though, just
but it's
in
like,
general.
Yeah, okay, sure.
But like we had so many fights and I probably saw 5 fights a day and they were never one on one. It was always like one against like as many people as possible could get in there. Like it was, they're all jumpings. But then like I remember a mom came up to me and she was like during parent teacher conferences and she was like, how's he doing? And she was so excited and I was like, oh, I can't stand your kid. He's
really?
The worst. and we're going back and forth about like his behavior. And by the end, she was like, okay, all right. You have my permission. If he does this again, to slap him upside the back of his head. I was like, okay, can you write that down for me?
Yeah, I would like to need that
sign and date it. Mm-hmm. And she did. And the next day he came in and was just acting all off. I was like, you know what? I just wound up and I like stretched before and I popped whacked him upside the back of his head, and he stood up and he was like, I'm telling my mom. And I handed him the note and I was like, tell your mom. And he read it. He was like, oh, damn. And fuck. He just sat back down, and he was the best student for the rest of the year. Like, not a problem.
He has one piece of leverage and you took it away from him. He's like, she can't hit me. And if she does, I'll tell. And then she did. I'm like, well, then it's the end game. I'm going to tell my mom now. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
oh, mom's in on it. Yeah, brutal. But then I've had parents try to beat me up too. So like, it really does swing both ways.
What do you mean? When did you have a parent try to beat you up?
I had a parent at my first parent teacher conference. The mom threatened to cut my lips off. She was like, you know, there were warning signs. I will say that.
She didn't go 0-60.
She did go 0-60, but the
oh my god,
Amy, the principal was like, I was like, I need to talk to this mom because the daughter's like out of control, and they were like, maybe just try a little harder with the daughter. I was like, no, I've done everything. Like, I need to see the mom. They're like, we don't know if that's
because they know the mom,
right? And so the principal's like, no warning, but he's like, I'll just sit in the room with you, and then and I was just like, you know, I need help with your daughter. If you can encourage her to do her homework and this and this and this and that. And she was just like leaned back the whole time, just like glaring at me. And I was like, and she didn't say anything when I was done. So I was like, can you tell me what you're thinking? Respond. Can you help at all? And she goes, you dumb white bitch, I'm going to cut your motherfucking lips off. And I looked at my principal, and he's just like staring at the ceiling. And I was like, no. And I looked at her again. And I started laughing because I was nervous. I go, what did you say? And she just said it again verbatim. Like, she had clapped
going
between,
to cut
but not
your
she
lips
goes, yeah.
Off.
She goes, you heard me. I said, you dumb white bitch. I'm going
Periods.
To cut your motherfucking lips off. And I was like, shit. And I looked, and he was still doing nothing. And I go, all right, well, I think it's time for you to go. And so she stood up and she walked towards me, and she put her fingers like here. I remember just looking.
She, like, at
her fingers like pointing at my face like that, and she goes, that's fine, I'll beat your ass in the parking lot. And I knew my principal wasn't gonna do anything either, so I stood up and I got in her face. I go, I drive the black Jeep, bitch. And we were just like toe to toe, and then he got up and was like, okay, ladies, and like,
whoa,
broke it up. That was my first parent-teacher conference.
There's no training for that in school, is there?
No. But that's why I'm glad that I worked at that group home, because like, I learned how to deal with conflict like that.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think I would have known.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not saying I handled it right, but I don't know how else.
It's like, are you supposed to go back at people?
Then I'm like, I'm not going to get my ass beat in a parking lot in front of my students by a mom.
Well, she just didn't want to hear that her kid wasn't.
She just didn't want to do the work, you know. Like, you never want to hear that your kid's the bad kid. But like, I've never met a parent and been confused about where the behavior came from.
You only taught inner city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's but I think so, that's pretty. I think that's across the board.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I wonder. I'm just trying to relate that it's such a different upbringing I had, and probably you had too.
Right.
But I'm just trying to think, like, one, we were never at a loss for books.
No.
So that's like, I can't even comprehend no books.
Well, we had like,
it was just, they chose which books we were supposed to read, and then we'd all get them.
Right. And everyone had their own copy. We didn't. We would always collect books. If we had the books, we would collect them at the end of class to pass them out to the next class.
Pick on, like, why is your book already frayed, dude? He's like, what do you mean? It's like, your book, it's not brand new. It's like, it was my brother's. He took his class last year. I'm like, are you poor? It's like, no, my brother had this class last year. I was like, all right,
hand me down book.
Yeah.
And we're just passing them class to class. Yeah.
But also, like, I'm trying to think of, like, parents. If I acted up a lot in school, but it wasn't like my parents didn't.
What was your discipline like at home?
So I remember a teacher once saying that she talked to my mom, and she said, like, I had been doing better in school. I was not a great student in high school and whatever.
I wasn't either.
But you went to Jewish school or you went to public school?
Public.
But even when they weren't like studying hard or whatever, or like falling way behind, you're still falling way behind on well, at least for me, on the very
on
intelligent
a higher level.
Jewish scale.
Right.
So like,
did you just say scale like a Jew?
Maybe. Put a scale on it. So I was still like, I was getting an education, even though I was getting like C's. I was still getting
exactly.
this quality education.
Right, right.
But I remember a teacher once saying like, we talked to your mom and it's, you've been doing better here, but like, I heard you've been acting up at home. And it seems like you have to act up in one place or the other.
Mm.
And you've been doing better here, so you've been giving your mom a harder time.
What kind of acting up? What, just like talking back and...
So like I would lip off in school or I just wouldn't study or I'd make jokes too much. Or it wasn't like fuck you to a teacher or anything. Or I just wouldn't quite give my mom enough respect if it was acting
yeah,
up at home.
Yeah. I don't, fights. That's like to me like typical teenager stuff. You're going to see yeah. what you can get away with. Like why wouldn't you want to see?
Yeah. But even if I was acting up in school, like my home life wasn't like a parents who didn't love me.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but it could be like parents that would discipline you differently than your teacher. And so when you don't get the type of discipline that works for you,
yeah.
you're just going to be worse. You know, it's not going to. I think that the punishment needs to like fit the crime, but it also needs to fit the person.
Right.
Yeah, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like what's going to drive this kid to do well?
Right. Like I had a kid, I don't know if I told you this or not. I had a kid curse me out. I do this as a joke now. He cursed me out in front of the whole class like for a while. Like he went on and you can't argue against a kid in front of other kids. Like it's just not going to, it's a no win situation for the teacher. And so I just let him go.
Yeah.
And he went for a good like probably minute or two, just kept going and going and going. And he wanted to get kicked out of the class. That was this whole thing. And
he wanted out.
Yeah. And I knew that. And I was like, I'm not kicking him out. So what I did instead was I grabbed my chalk. And then as a class, we wrote down everything he said on the board. I made him take out paper. And we wrote everything he said on the board, which was fucking brutal to
wow.
go back to. And just be like, and then what did he? Yes. Yes. He did talk about my ass. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Okay. And then we went through the whole thing and we corrected the grammar on it. And I made him write it down. And I looked at him after and I was like, the next time you want to curse out an English teacher, either use proper grammar or shut the fuck up. And that was the only time I got cursed out.
What was that teacher with like the blonde chick, Kim Basinger maybe? Something like that, that Coolio did the theme song for?
Michelle Pfeiffer. Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
That's so funny. People do make that connection.
Was that like, you? Was that?
Not really. Nah. I mean, like then that we both worked in inner city schools, sure, but like.
But your kids had no futures.
But.
Your kids didn't have the potential that a
but my version. Kids, my, the bullets that were flying around us were more real, I think.
Oh my God.
I don't. When it would rain, I taught on the top floor and there was a hole in the roof.
Yeah.
And then there was a hole. It would rain basically onto my ceiling, and then it would just fall through eventually. I couldn't seat kids like in that area. Hi, buddy. Hi.
What do you mean? So they had no roof? Ugh, that's so sad. Come here, buddy.
They had a roof. It just had a hole in it.
How are inner city kids supposed to get ahead? How are they supposed
exactly.
to even not get ahead? How are they supposed to get back to even?
Just even, yeah. Right. It's such a loose situation unless they have teachers that really do care about them. And even then, it's like you asked earlier, like how do you prevent a kid from falling through the cracks? And it's like you're one person, you know, it's so hard to do that. But I did think of one example, which was this girl, that I taught. She was, I think, maybe this was a 10th grader. No, she wasn't 10th grade, but she couldn't read at all.
In 10th grade.
And she made
what,
it
what
tenth
happens
grade.
In 9th and 8th grade? And
7th, 6th, 5th, 4th. Yeah.
No
so,
one notices or says anything
and
or
it's
says
not
no.
that. She had learned how to get around it because of her behavior. She would just act up so much.
Like if she got called on something, they'd be like, she would act up enough to like
and
get
cause
out.
A scene
so
and,
now
and,
no one has
and
to pay attention
like,
to the fact that I can't read.
Right. And so then it's just like that part of it is washed away. But the only reason she's acting out is because she can't read. And so
right.
I kind of held her after class one day to talk about that type of stuff, like reading stuff with her, just to be like, what's going on with your test scores or something like this? Like, what does it say here? Why did you write this word? And she was like, I just wrote the word. I was like, well, what's this word? Because it was way above like her level. I was like, well, what does this word mean? And she's like, it's just, I don't know.
Just a word. What do you mean? Words don't mean.
Like, what? Okay. And I was like, read this sentence to me. And she couldn't. And then so I had her tested, and she was reading two below kindergarten, which means that she could sound out not even a sentence, but she could sound out, let's say, a three syllable word. She could sound out the whole word, but then when it got to the end of it, she couldn't remember the beginning to go, so she would have to go back.
Oh my God.
To like do it again. And so I had to get her, you know, help that she needed. But that was a fluke that I figured it out, because she had been doing this for 10 years.
Did she resist the help or like?
Initially, yeah. But then she really did appreciate it. Not from, she never showed me that side of it, but like she got into a group of kids that were really great for her, and her abuse at home was insane.
What? Oh,
like the mom just like pretended she didn't exist at all. Like she would make dinner for the whole family and not even set a place for her. Like
why?
Like exactly why? Like you have no, I have no idea. But like, so I understand how it did get this far. You know?
Yeah.
But
where does that come from? That's.
People are really, really.
Was it
really
like she felt challenged
up.
By the daughter? Like,
I don't. Like you never know. I mean, I've had situations where, like, where moms have had boyfriends that are sexually molesting their daughters, and then like the son finds out, beats the shit out of the boyfriend, and then the son gets kicked out because he's not bringing money in. You know?
Why'd you ruin everything, son?
Yeah. So it's just like really, and that. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that does happen in different, like, maybe not like the same circumstances, but those things do happen across the board, money or not money, you know, like,
damn.
Yeah, it can be kids. I don't know. I don't know if it's worse or just we hear about
it
more.
I wouldn't, if somebody was like, you can't read and it's 10th grade. And I know I could look back from 40s to be like, oh, 10th grade, for sure. I should have started right then. But and in 10th grade, I'd be like, it's too late.
It's too late.
I'm
hopeless.
Way behind everybody.
I'm
stupid. No way. I'm going to do all this work.
Yeah. And then that's being reinforced at home. And so it's like you have literally no one on your side. Like it's just a difficult situation.
Damn. Did you taught seniors?
Yeah.
How old were you when you started?
25. But when I started, I taught from, I would say, 9th grade through like probably, oh, I just taught 9th and 10th, and then I started teaching 12th like 5 years into teaching.
Inner city.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Were any of those kids like, would you have?
Would I fuck a kid?
Yeah.
No. I didn't. The thing about like that is what I see when, and what every teacher, this is why it's so baffling to me, is because I'm going, every day I go into my room, my classroom, I lock myself into a room with a bunch of like 17 and 18 year olds, and I see them act like
hormone
just
pods.
So idiotic.
Yeah.
They're so dumb. Like when you just listen to their conversations that you're like,
you guys are retarded.
Like, I can't even.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it always kind of baffled me. But I do know teachers that have.
You do?
Yeah. Uh-huh. 100%.
What do you mean? Did they confide in you?
No, I just.
You saw.
You
like,
just
we all,
know. Yeah.
It's one of those things where everybody knows, but nobody can say anything because like, it's just too much.
Well, the first one, yeah, was definitely that, because she was the, it was a woman. She was, her dad was a vice principal in the school. And so.
Wait, the teacher's so dad was.
The teacher's dad was. Yeah, a little bit of nepotism there, but.
Wow.
But that was like the least of the issues.
Whenever they talk about like Sandusky or like Harvey Weinstein or Cosby, and I see all this new crop of people like, mm-hmm. I would have said something. You're like, you wouldn't have, because
you wouldn't.
Everyone kind of knew.
Yeah.
I'm not in Hollywood, and I kind of knew about Weinstein.
Right.
I don't think I knew about Cosby. There were rumors, but I didn't really hear them. But
I didn't. But
Weinstein, I kind of knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was talking to Theo Vaughn about it before he was in Hollywood too, you know?
And
it was
no
like,
one says anything.
Right, we kind of knew, but like, but if we kind of knew, and they're all, they're mentioning it in award speeches.
People knew.
But right, but you're like, I don't know what to do. I can't sign it.
Right.
People just kind of like, can it just go away?
Right. Well, and that's why if you're going to do that, I guess you do need to make yourself the most powerful person.
Yeah.
Which also, I guess, in a classroom is what the teacher is. If you look at it on a very small scale.
You know, all those, if you look up the teachers who have been arrested for it, they're all hot.
They are, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they're very good looking.
You would think it'd be a fucking beast, right? You'd be like, I can't get laid.
I don't know. I mean, because you, when you look at like who they're going after, if it's like these football player kids,
right?
They can, you know,
no, they
have
can do
sex
better
with a lot
in
of
their
the
own
girls
age. You can get
in
a hot 17-year-old is
right.
One thing, but a 25-year-old, a 28-year-old.
Oh, I guess that's a bigger draw.
Yeah. First of all, I remember having a chance with a TA in college, teacher's assistant.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it was allowed, but I'm not sure. She
I'm
was like
sure.
a grad student of it, whatever. Like,
oh, I don't know. Maybe just because of the class, though.
Yeah. But like if she wasn't in my, but I remember asking her out. She's like, I don't know if we can. I'm like, class is almost over. Like school's almost over. And I was just doing it because like how cool would it be to fuck a teacher?
Right.
So the kids
oh,
have
they
that.
Would try. They tried all the time.
Really?
Like, yeah. Ridiculous.
They threw it at you?
Oh, of course. They were like, I'm just trying. I'm like, why? Yeah. Get away from me. I just flicked their nose. I'm like, no. Ew.
What you doing later, Ms. Schenker?
Your dad.
What? Yeah. Did that ever happen?
Oh,
teachers
did
fucking
I?
Parents?
No. Oh, I don't know. I mean,
did you?
I met, no, you know what, though? I met like 5 parents a year. Like, no one would come to parent-teacher conferences or anything. Right. And the one dad that I did meet was like, I had to bring him in because his son was like so sexually like aggressive with the girls in the class. And I called, this is another example of that. Like, you see the kid reflected in the parent or vice versa is, I called this dad and I got his machine first. And you know when you used to be able to put like music for your to listen to?
Uh-huh.
His was I Love Pussy and Pussy Loves Me. I was like,
wow.
Oh, I think I'm good. I think I understand the situation.
See where this comes from. Damn.
As their ringtone.
I called Dice once and left a message and his machine was hey, this is Andrew. I'm not leaving a message. And I just remember, like, I was like 5 years into comedy, wondering what my life was going to become. And, like, when also struggling with, like, when I would have to grow up
oh,
in general.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 25, 30, and I'm like, this is about the time all my friends back home are real normcore.
And, like, starting to, like, think about having kids. And
yeah, for sure, yeah. Having kids. Some of them having kids, others getting married or thinking about it, and also getting raises and promotions and, like, doing, like, you know, normal success stuff, mm-hmm. getting a big grill. And
that's a big grill. That's a really hard part about going into, that was like leaving teaching and going into comedy for me was, my mom kept being like, but what are you going to do for a job? I was like, comedy. I'm going to do comedy.
No.
And it just, and then you're like, no, I'm going to nanny. Definitely nanny. Like you, it just seems so like.
It's abstract, the idea that you could succeed in it.
The comedy is such an abstract idea anyway.
Yeah, when you tell
and
your
then
friends,
going
dude,
from
like
yeah, they're like,
comedy?
What are you talking like, about? You're
yeah,
a teacher. You do, like you have a normal profession. And I had 2 masters at the time.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna stop doing this. But I hated it. Really, it was just I felt like it was just like making me miserable. And every time like I would lay down at night and think about like death, because you know Jews do that a lot.
Sure,
and and I was
sure
like
thing.
what will I regret, like looking back at my life, what would I regret the most? And every single time I asked myself, it was always I'm gonna regret staying in teaching.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not get any sense of reward from it, from a kid seeing a kid succeed?
I did get a sense of reward, and I do love seeing kids succeed and all. I've gotten Teacher of the Year awards. I've gotten
really
yeah like
at the school
and a bunch of different awards and stuff for teaching, yeah, but like it just didn't make me personally happy, and definitely not enough to stay in it for another 20 years, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
So why would you want to just do that? Like, waste your life?
Our biggest influence when I was younger, when I was starting comedy, this guy named Jim Painter. James Painter, we call him sometimes. But he was like, of our class of comics at the store, he was the one who, he was the best. He would do this thing with his hands, like, I'm not saying that. But like, he would just go for it so hard. And he quit comedy.
Is he a teacher?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I think he might be growing weed or doing telemarketing or something. But like, why? He was so good. We would run in to see him, and he would either crush or he would bomb. Epically.
Yeah.
I mean, he had
But either way, it's still like highly entertaining.
He had this bit about, and he was weirdly into Jesus. He wouldn't say God. He would say gosh. But he fucked anything that moved. And he lost virginity at 14 and then got robbed in the middle of it. And he was fucked up, sober, and then like drank hard later. Yeah. And every time a beloved celebrity would die, I got that kind of from him. It's like an homage to him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
John Ritter died. He was like, I'm glad he's dead. And then he would just go off, and people would either like loved it or hated it. It would go one way or the other, but he would always go for it. Chick Hearn, the Lakers broadcaster for like 50 years, died. Yeah. Fuck him. And it was like, what? And if he got the crowd on his side, it was such a great laugh.
Yeah.
And half of that is just an homage to him. But like,
I like that. But when's the last time you talked to him?
My friends just talked to him, and he said he's like doing some weed stuff, and he's like sort of happy. But like, for a while he was like, I'm getting back in. But here was the thing that Pete Carbone said. He goes, as much joy as he gave us from doing stand up, he did not get that joy himself.
You're right.
So at some point you're like, I'm not enjoying this.
And you have to make a choice, yeah. You know? Like,
yeah.
No one else is living life for you. You have to live for yourself.
Right, if you're not enjoying it, you're not enjoying it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. That's how I felt about teaching. I mean, day one, I was like, oh, this is not for me.
Why'd you go into it in the first place?
Because I was, an English, I don't know.
English major.
I don't know. I was an English major.
That's one of the
things. I didn't even
mean
to
be. You can be a judge, a teacher, like there are a few things.
A journalist. They're like, you can be a journalist or you can be a teacher. And if you're a journalist, you're not going to make any money. And if you're a teacher, you'll make like more than a little.
More than none.
But not enough.
Yeah.
To deal with what you're dealing with.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I think when you say like teachers are the most replaceable, and I do think that a lot of us are, and it is for that reason that we're just so like not disrespected, but not respected, you know?
How much did you make as a teacher in Chicago?
Oh, gosh.
Last year.
Oh, when I left, yeah. I was making about 95.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's sizable.
But when I started, I was bringing home less than $500 a week.
After taxes, you mean?
Yeah.
That's a week. Enough.
So I was making less than $100 a day for teaching 5 classes. My biggest class when I first started was 45 kids. We didn't even have enough desks like for them to sit. And so they're doubling up on seats. We
don't have
the books, you know? Yeah. And so it's like you really have to. And for like a first, second, third year teacher, that's a big class to have to deal with. So I
can't get over not having books for students. It's like I'm not obviously I don't get the reason to have such a giant military or like what we need new tanks every year when we still have the old tanks, but like you gotta first have books and for every student. Like what?
And just like school supplies, paper, pencils, all of that
stuff. What chance does this fucking country or the future have if they're not, you have to have a book.
Right.
What do you mean? Well, you can't learn without a book.
But when you look at like poorer schools, that's where the military recruits the hardest.
Damn.
And
they need cogs.
And so when you look at why they're not being funded as much, I mean, you can't help but tie the two together a little.
They're like, why don't we?
They're like, no, we would prefer that they're not free thinkers.
Right.
Honesty.
Yeah, this.
Why would they want that? You know, because then they're not going to follow.
You don't get many like liberal arts majors on the dean's list who like, I'm going to enlist.
Right.
That's not it just the general path there.
You're enlisting because like you want college paid for because you need it, or you want to travel, or you want to fight, but damn. I would say that's like the least of
it. Maybe it's that they're like, keep not funding them. We need idiots to fight, to take orders.
I don't know, but I do know that like it's just this huge cycle that is there for a reason. So what's the reason?
Fuck. But it's,
it's more than just military, though.
I get like not having as much funding or not having the best teachers, but like it's a shocking thing to say you don't have a book.
Right.
That's like, I'm so far removed from that, from a private education.
Yeah.
You know, upper middle class was the average.
And like if the school didn't have it, they would just have your family go buy it. And your family could go buy it, but my families couldn't just go buy the stuff. Like it just wasn't
like no way
an option for a lot of people.
When I remember when the beginning of COVID, rarely will I like change my mind on anything, you know. But like I was like When COVID was still a death sentence,
that
first like month where it was like, oh fuck, that guy got no, you know, when we thought everyone would die.
You would just like you would see someone's breath go into your mouth. Was that the breath?
Yeah. But I remember them like saying that we shut down the schools, and de Blasio and the other one, Cuomo, were like arguing over it. And I was like, just stay home. What's the difference? It's like this
you
thing
can't
might spread.
Do that.
Yeah. Like what's the difference? And my friend was like, well, a lot of these kids, that's the only place they get a lunch because they can't afford a lunch at home.
And he...
And oh my God. And I was like, oh yeah, I didn't even consider that at all.
Yeah, I mean Chicago, you know the weather there in the winters. When Daley was the mayor, schools were never ever closed. They came for heat and they came for food. Yeah.
Wow.
Like that's the only place they would eat. And I have kids squatting in like Cabrini Green my first year of teaching.
What's
like,
that mean?
Do you know do you remember the movie The Candyman? The original?
Candyman, Candyman, Candyman?
Yeah.
I should not have said that three times in a row, but okay.
I'm so fucked right now.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Man, it's all slashed outside.
I've never seen it again.
I haven't either.
That movie, they wanted to film in the worst projects in the United States, and so they picked Cabrini. For it. Cabrini is where the mayor of Chicago, like I think in the 70s, maybe the 80s, it was this woman. She was like, oh, Cabrini's fine. It's nice. And she's like, I'll move in there for a week. And she like they like renovated one apartment for her.
To show that it could
she's
be
she's like, see? Yeah. And so by the time I had gotten there, they were trying to clear out Cabrini to knock it down to put up
rich people homes. That's what they do here. They finally realized Avenue D, it was the worst.
And now it's
there
like,
there was a saying for Alphabet City. You go to A is like, I think that might be A for always safe, or like A okay, something like that. B is be careful. C is something, and D is death.
Ooh.
And then like you just don't go. The mayor was like, went on public like on TV and said, "Don't go. We cannot protect you if you go there."
That's
they're like,
crazy.
They have it. We don't have it.
When?
We don't
in like the 90s?
The 80s and 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't have the funds. We're trying to make some of the city safe. We don't have the funds to make it all safe. And that's, he said, don't go. We can't protect you.
But see, that's the thing where it's like the same thing. We're choosing to not protect this area.
Right.
And we're choosing to put all of our protection
in this area
because that's where the money is.
Right, exactly. Like, well, we're going to protect where the lawyers are. But it's like, no, well, what you really need to clean up is... that, but the lawyer's like, no, I want to be able to get home safely, and I have the money, so you have to protect me. But it's like, no, let's protect where all the crime was, stop
why
all the
wouldn't
crime.
You right,
so what if there's a little more crime and the lawyers are like, sure, deal with it, there's no life better than another, but we don't do that.
No, why would we do that? Money talks.
Yeah, but anyway, Avenue D, they're starting to realize it's where the last of the projects are. It's like, that's waterfront.
It is.
So those are going.
God.
Those are gonna go.
That would have been a great place to buy a long time ago.
There used to be my old building.
Look, I just fall right into it too.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I could be so rich right
now. Yeah. My old building, so you could have a building for $500, a building, but you had to live there for 5 years.
Okay.
And that was like, people were like, no way. I'll die.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they wanted, like.
Was it
It was bad. I got to look at the real history of it.
Yeah, I would like to see that too.
This building was burned down. Arson. Because of like...
Insurance?
They said rich people are coming in. How dare they? And then they like burn it. Not this owner, another owner.
But that kind of like just helps. Because right. now they don't have to hire a company to knock down the building.
Exactly. Joy Diaz calls that Jewish lightning.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, but not having books to read, it's just like,
yeah,
it's a little shocking, right? Did you get it all? Like, what's going on here?
I mean, I was surprised by it, but like, I don't know. At this point in my life, like, no, you know, it doesn't. Just nothing really phases me. I went through school too. I got my second master's in administration because I thought maybe I would want to be a principal. This was before I started comedy.
Yeah,
and And what I learned was that, like, you can't be a principal without having to do illegal stuff. Like, I'd be shocked.
You can't have principals.
You just can't. You can't have principals if you're a principal. That was good. Thanks. Take it to the stage.
Because you have to just skirt around the system?
Yeah, you have to move money around. Like, money is designated for certain things. When, like, you can have this much for books. You can have this much for uniforms. You can have this much for... after school activities and stuff, and that's never where the money needs to be. So you have to move money around, and it's always illegal. There's also
like, forget the uniforms. We'll just draw a number on your shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, who knows how to draw like
right,
that?
Right. You'd have to.
You do, and then there's technically like more money set aside for education and for libraries and stuff in Chicago. It's called the TIF fund, TIF. I don't know what it is anywhere else, but just it's always constantly dipped into by people that are like, I want to build a hotel. We know there's money. Like the Pritzker family, they do that a lot.
So the East
Not
River
that
Park,
I wanted to gossip.
They just tore it up. What's the Pritzker family?
They're just like this super rich family that builds hotels and stuff. And
so
they technically give back to charity and do all of that. But like they're also pulling from the same bucket they're dipping into.
East River Park, they just tore down 500 acres, I forget, 1,000 trees, like a massive park. You ever been there?
No.
They had that, not auditorium, the outdoor, like, amphitheater. They did some comedy there over COVID.
Oh, maybe, yeah, okay, I do know what you're talking
about.
There's
baseball
fields
and the bike path all the way to, like,
why'd they tear it down? High rises.
Yeah. Well, they said it's because they had to shore up against another hurricane, and the people against it, against tearing it down, we're like, Hurricane Sandy, the park was back in business 2 days later. Like, it was fine. Like,
yeah,
the
and
trees
really,
all, like,
the park
that
is
shit
what
out.
You're concerned about with a hurricane?
Yeah, they said they need to build a wall, whatever. But they're like, no. And they want, like, let's have another plan. And they go, no, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. And then they started suing them, and they go, just start building anyway. It's like, they just went around, like, the law.
Yeah, that's not...
De Blasio and Carlina Rivera and people like
and
that.
And now they're...
It's all been raised, R-A-Z-E-D. Like, but anyway, they're like, hey, so we're just going to rebuild the park. And I'm like, well, you're tearing down trees. Those have the roots in there that hold the soil together.
Yeah.
But then they go, it's fine. We have the funding for it. If we run out of money, then we should have the option to build either high rises or a prison on there to pay for it. And it's like, oh, so you're definitely going to either build a high rise or prison. Like, what 100%. Do you mean? 100%.
Yeah. Because the meeting before that was, let's do this.
Uh-huh.
Let's just say we'll do this and we'll get it all through together. That's what I don't like about these bills that get passed in the government, that they're like, we'll tag that under the abortion thing and then
put it under that. Yeah.
And what do you want more, you know?
Ugh, it's so fucking annoying.
I don't even understand.
There was a Simpsons episode like that where there was a meteor coming and they needed to evacuate the city, Springfield. And so then something happened where I think a small piece of the meteor, or they were going to blow up the meteor first. They shot a rocket and it just failed and hit the only bridge out of town. So then Congress is like, we got to save the city of Springfield.
Was that what the bridge was called too?
What?
The bridge, only bridge.
maybe. And they're all waiting. And then the Congress is like, let's evacuate the city of Springfield. All in favor, say aye. And they're like, aye, like all against. And then goes, I'd like to tack on a porn bill. to that? And then they go, oh, no way. It goes, nay. And they all say nay. And then some the newscaster's like, this is why democracy doesn't work. Like, what do you have porn have to do with that? But they just tack on things.
Right. Ugh. And that's how you get everything through or not through.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Because they just have nothing to do with each other.
Nothing. And it's like, can we just do this one thing?
I'm surprised you've kept that on this whole time.
I mean, but it's going to have to go on way longer when I'm skiing.
I don't even think you should go skiing.
Well, all right. Not an option, what you're saying.
It's really dangerous. Are you wearing a helmet?
Well, yeah, for sure. Okay. Oh, I got to get my helmet. What would you do different as a teacher now?
In what aspect?
I don't know. If you started up right now, so now you have how many years of comedy?
10.
10 years. So 9. You've been removed from a decade from teaching, right? Mm-ish. Was there overlap?
No, there was overlap. So probably 7.
7 years gone.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, I don't always say this. I don't know why I said that. I say I can see how shitty LA was now that I've left. I see more of the shittiness.
Right.
It took me getting out of there. And I'd go back and visit after 6 months. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I miss LA. And then after like a year, I'm like, oh, wait, this place kind of sucks. Why was I trying to get involved in these parties with fucking awful people or trying to get ahead? Even the LA comedy scene, they're all fame-based instead of talent-based.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they don't care about the product. They just get, you see what they have on their podcasts. It's all like famous person, famous person, famous person. And never like, here's a really interesting writer who's coming up.
Right. Like,
they don't care.
It's baffling to me that
you want to have a low level comedian on there. But like, hey, this guy's really funny. They go,
The industry is done. It's just made you like, only focus on numbers.
Yeah. Focus on numbers. What'll get more YouTube views instead of like, well, what's a better product?
Right.
Yeah, they're garbage. It's a garbage
talent. And
that's
a reflection of our politics. It's a reflection of everything that America is right now, too. Anyway, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that what I would do different is I probably would not be in the classroom. I think that I would have maybe gone to law school and tried to make changes to education through that.
Broadly.
But I will say that, like, I may not have known where the changes needed to have been made without teaching.
You wouldn't have.
So I think looking back, if I wasn't to do comedy, I think that I would have probably taught for maybe 6 or 7 years and then gone to law school and then become an advocate for better education in the city.
Yeah, I like that. That's not exactly what I meant. I meant, like, if right now you went back to your old job.
Okay.
So, like, what would you do different in your old job?
Oof. I gotta say more movies, maybe.
Show them more movies. get that projector.
You know, I had
movie
a principal.
Movie Day was great.
Oh,
movie Day
God.
Was great.
I love Movie Day.
Even the boring ones, like, sweet.
I used to show on Senior Skip Day, I would show them the ones, like, the nerds that would show up. I'd make them watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'd be like, you guys are idiots.
Why'd you show up?
Why? This was my
they're
day off,
having,
too.
They're all having this time.
I had a principal at my second school who got fired and arrested for fraud and embezzlement.
Really?
And she said that we had like a $250,000 paint job in the inside of the school. Like, they painted the whole school. And it never happened. And what she did was she got bids from like 3 different companies, and one company was made up. And I think it was like her son's fake company.
Oh my
and they
God.
Filtered the money through that. And it was just never seen again. And
I love a real like crooked. Instead of look, I can go to anyone, but I'll go to my son's one. But he's still going to do the job.
The whole family.
And you can justify it. Like, no, they're the best ones. You know, but when it's straight up like, oh, we're just taking the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she used to we had these. The reason I brought it up was because of movies. We would get these flat screens.
Yeah.
And we were all so excited to get them because we thought that they were like the coolest. Right. We got 2 flat screens. We were going to wheel them from class to class when we needed them. And she gave them to her kids for Christmas.
No, no. Come on. Oh my God, really?
Hey, yeah.
Wow. That's
she used to do so much shit. She would not she wouldn't let teachers drink water in their classroom. She would be like, no, you need to set an example for the students.
What's the example? Water
like,
is life.
We need water.
That's a bad example.
We talk all day.
You should tell the kids to drink water in school.
I have no problem if a kid is drinking or eating in my class.
I don't care.
Right.
If they're drinking scissor, it's like, all right.
I'll drink liquor. That would have made the day so much better. So much better for, well, for me. But
did a kid ever swing at you?
No, but I did get punched when I was breaking up a fight.
That happened to Liv for
right here. Oh, it hurt.
Really?
Yeah. But we had to break up these fights all the time.
Wow.
And the kids would like block you out when they didn't want it broken up yet. They'd let you in when they did.
Like other nuts. Kids would be like, yeah. No, they're going.
Oh, yeah.
Get Amy
yeah.
out of here.
Yeah. They were, the first fight I broke up was like, I just happened to be right there when it started. And I was like, no, and the circle was around me. I was I am really screwed. And I saw it was a girl fight, which I would rather break up a guy fight any day.
Why? Girls fight dirty.
Girls fight dirty. But they also don't look where they're fight. Like they just blindly swing. It's like, guys look at who they're gonna punch first, you know. Girls yeah. do not. And this was like probably about five girls. They jumped this one little girl, and she was curled up in a ball on the ground, just getting like kicked and stomped. And
psst, come here, buddy. Come here. Yeah, she was getting kicked and stomped.
Stomped, and I remember seeing this foot go up, and and it was about to come down like on her head, and I was like, oh my god. And I like followed the foot up and grabbed the arm of the girl doing it and just dragged her off, you know. And I pressed her, I put her up against a locker.
Really?
And and she was trying to fight me
because of that.
Yeah,
once you get fighting mood, once you're like, ooh, opened up.
I had her so that both of her arms were like up behind her back, just like locked in by her wrist. Nice. I don't know where I learned this. It just like happened. And then I spread like her legs with one of my legs, and I had her neck against the locker after that, because I'm like, oh, I'm not getting beaten up too. And then her like three girls walked up and they were talking to her. They were like yelling her name. And I was like, oh, this is going to go so bad. I looked at them. I was like, you better get your girl in check. And they did.
That's the one where you have her, but as soon as I let go, she might swing on me. So you have to be like, mm-hmm. get her out of here. Are you going to fight me? And she'll be like,
she's
yes.
like, I am going
to
fight
you. Like, damn it. I can't let you go then.
No. I remember taking my leg off. She tried to kick me like back. I was like, girl.
Oh my God.
Why?
I love rage. What's like the craziest thing that happened to you there?
I wasn't in it, but there was a, after school, my kids used to, if there was going to be a fight, you know, they would be like, you need to leave early or stay late because something's going to happen. And I would always just stay late and leave my door open so that they had a safe place, you know, to be. And so, but one day just nobody knew. And I think it was the Kings. Some kid pissed off one of the Latin Kings kids, and the whole gang came to the school. And then that kid that pissed off the Kings, they knew that his gang knew that that gang was coming. So then their whole gang came, and then the other two or three that were in the school, all their gangs came. So it was like probably four or five gangs in this, and it was a city block long fight. I've never seen anything like it before or since. Like, it was in the street from one stoplight in like a long block, you know. The cops were there, parents were there, all the gangs were there, and every single kid in the school and the teachers were all there. And so it was chaos. You Ooh, couldn't wow. It was like being in a club. Like, it was like that tightness.
Weapons
yeah, everything. People were swinging on everyone. I remember coming out and I was like, oh shit. And I tried to grab the door to get back in because it locked automatically, and I just missed it. And I just looked around. I was like, it looked like in a pop go. So I was like, nothing is going to break this up, you know? And then I just heard like, boom, 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 like five gunshots in a row. And everyone just scattered or got down. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I mean, I had like bullet holes in the window of my first classroom where I taught. Yeah. Just from an old shooting. Yeah. And so, and that's what ended the fight.
Gunshots came out, then everyone scattered.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever lose a kid?
Yeah. I've lost several. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
There was, this one story, this kid who was dating a girl, it was like so Romeo and Juliet. The girl was in her family, she wasn't affiliated, but her family was, and his family was affiliated with the rival, basically.
Yeah.
And both families to the boy were like, you need to choose, because you can't be dating this girl from that gang. Romeo and that Juliet. Family was like, you can't be dating.
It's Romeo and Juliet.
Right. And so he chose his family and his family's gang, obviously. And the day he did it, the girlfriend, her family's gang killed him. Crazy stuff.
Damn.
Yeah, the stories are
But if he didn't, I mean, it wasn't like he killed the girlfriend. He just said, like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. And they're like, yeah, you can't. You can't
you were
come
teaching
in
him at
and
the time,
leave.
Or was it afterwards?
After.
Shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of just like crazy stories that you hear in the news and you're like, that can't. Like, that didn't happen to a real person.
Right, like, right, no, right. No, yeah, these are him. Like abstract stories. That, like,
yeah, it's all sounds so abstract until you're like, I know him.
Was there any method of preparation for the kids to, like, idiot, why'd you come in then? to, like, handle death?
No. They had, I think, gone through a lot more of it maybe than, I don't, at least violent types of death than you and I were ever exposed to as kids, you know? But no, there was no coping. And I think that there do need to be classes for that, and kids need to be taught how to cope with this stuff, because then we have this whole society of, like, you know, men that just don't understand that they're hurting, and it just comes out in horrible ways because they can't cope with it.
Toxic masculinity. There's like, my buddy died. It's like, anyway, school tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Choke it down and move on.
Really?
I don't know.
I was like, what?
No, no way. We would have had therapy for like weeks. The whole school would have had therapy for weeks.
Yeah, no, we didn't really. I mean, if a kid's like, I don't, like I would say towards the end of my teaching career, it started to become a little bit more like, we need to
address this.
Be doing more for these kids that are in mourning.
Yeah.
Because they're their friends that are dying, you know? We would start like just sending them to our own counselors, but we didn't have like bereavement or anything. Or grief counselors. No. Damn. There's just not. Yeah, there's no money.
It's really sad.
It's horrible.
I mean, when I was asked you to come in, I was like, this will be interesting to hear stuff about teaching and stuff. And like that chick who threatened to fight you and cut your lips off, which I'm on her side. But like, but like this stuff.
She
is
got
like,
them too. You should see my.
My old lips were really big. These are the tackle. But like this stuff is disheartening for like.
It is
the
disheartening.
Country.
Yeah. It's the state that we're in, or at least that we were in. I'm sure it's worse now in the inner city, at least. Damn. Like, because there's just, we're just not investing in our future at all.
Grr.
I mean, I guess, like, the military aspect of it, but.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of, like, students that are now teachers, and I see, like, their Facebook posts or Instagram posts and how they're just so, like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it's like, it's the same stuff,
nothing.
And like they try, like every you know, you don't go into education thinking like, I won't make a difference. I don't care, you know?
You're going trying to make a difference.
Yeah. And it just gets like beaten out of you eventually. Cause there's just like, your principal giving away all of your stuff.
Did you have a lot of teachers that you saw when you were teaching that were like, oh, that guy gave up, that guy's given up?
100%. Yeah. I remember finding like an empty bottle of Jack in the women's bathroom once.
Wow.
I was like, oh, we're having a bad day.
Damn.
Like, you know, people
drinkers
would.
Drinkers at work for its teachers, like in their coffee.
Hard drinkers too.
Get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And not only is like, that's tough, like, it's like, that's who's leading our kids? Fucking
right.
Drunk.
And these are like old timers. They've been there forever.
Wow.
But I did. I mean, it's not all bad. You know, like the teaching, the parts that I liked would be like getting to know the kids and their different like little quirks and how they would learn and how they would like teach others. Like it's really interesting to see kids pass on information, I feel like. And I like seeing them get in front of the class and do speeches and stuff. Like I took them to Europe. I fundraised. Well, my friends paid for my students to to go to Europe for 10 kids.
Wow.
And we went over spring break. We went to Paris.
Inner city kids?
Yeah.
You took to Paris?
Yeah, in London. And we went to, where was the, oh, Rome. And it was so much fun. And these were all really, really good kids. Like, they were just, you know, these were kids that I was like, you should at least be college bound if you're not. And like, let's go get you some motivation and see the world. Like, we can, like, let's go do this. And so, and we went for like 9 days, I think.
I have not been to two of those places. And I travel a lot.
Yeah. Where?
Wow. I've not been to Paris or Rome.
Really?
Yeah.
It's great.
I bet. Should I have been inner city kid?
You should have been one of my students. Yeah. I could have taken you. We lost a kid like the first day. She jumped on the train in London and we were not on the train. None of the, like, and the doors closed and I was like, oh no.
You're like, this, what am I gonna do?
I had one other teacher with me and I turned to the kids. I had just already like been like, well, she's gone forever. And turned to the kids. I was like, we're down to nine. and the other teacher was yelling. She's like, get off at the next stop. And I was like, oh, that's right. Such yes. a good yeah. idea.
Excellent
that's
idea.
What she
Excellent
said
idea.
To do.
Next stop.
Hers. Yeah. That's the
instead of like, oh, that's gone. Well, who knows how far that train goes.
We don't even have the phone set up.
You're the fucking leader.
<They're> gone. But yeah, it was.
Damn, that sounds fun.
Awesome, really.
Yeah, but they got a shitload out of it.
A ton.
Yeah. Just seeing the different
cultures. And they also got to come back and tell all the other kids about it, which I loved. There. Yeah, exactly.
I remember hearing Bill Burr talk once about, like, it's like in passing or something. Might have been a podcast or something, but he was talking about how, like, homophobic people, and a lot of times they're just like, oh, they've just never met gays. They're not really actually homophobic. They're just, their world is too small. And mm-hmm. If they ever moved to New York or LA or Chicago, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's all gone. It was just like, they just weren't exposed to stuff.
Yeah, so experience you were exposing is really them to everything, like, yeah. I think. I mean, when you think about like things that you've done in your life and you think about how influential some of them were that you really didn't give a shit about before you did that thing, you know? Yeah. I worked at a Jewish camp in college and I hate camping.
Auschwitz.
Like, oh, horrible. Horrible. And but I did it for like 3 months. I lived in a tent.
Really?
Yeah. And I would never know that I was right about hating camping.
Until you did it.
I hadn't done that.
I think Fitzsimmons had a bit about getting a blowjob from a dude and stopping him. I think it was him. And going like, nah, I don't like it. And it was like, you know, gay. It was 15 years ago. It's so gay. He goes, no, no, no. I know I'm not gay. Because I got a blowjob from a dude and didn't like it. You guys are all just guessing. I'm the only one in here who knows for
sure.
That's
so true. It's very true.
Damn. Well, I'm glad you're in comedy.
I didn't mean to depress you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just like sad.
It is sad. I can tell you funny stories.
Yeah, what do you got? End with something good.
Like, let me think. Yeah. Let's see. Which, oh, you know, I'm trying to write a joke right now about the first fight that I broke up because it was between like the biggest kid in my class and he was huge. He was like 6'8", this kid, and he was a freshman. Like, he would, when I would be like, his name was Darrell, I would be like, hey, go get, well, that's what I call him in the joke. I'm scared of his mom, so I don't use his real name because she's
Darrell
very big.
Darrell seems like
too.
A right name. Like, when you said 6'8", it was like,
and he
I'm
was like probably 350. Like, he was being recruited by other schools to come and play football for them. But I remember telling him one day, I was like, oh, go get the girls need help to get down off the counter. They were decorating a wall. And he just like put his arms out like Andre the Giant. They just each jumped into one arm and he put them down.
Really?
Yeah. But, but there was a fight. And it was between him and the smallest kid in the class who was such an asshole. I could not stand this kid. And I went out and he had him like up against the wall, like off his feet by his neck. I was like, get him, you know? And, but I remember just like, I pulled his backpack because I didn't know how to break up a fight. Like, I had
someone that big,
right? And he kind of just went
chokehold.
Flying
That's
backwards.
The only way.
Yeah. Just jump up on their back. Yeah, he went backwards and was stumbling. And I looked at the kid. I was like, run! And we both ran. So I was so scared.
Just jump up and start like punching.
Mm-hmm. He was a huge kid. Super sweet, though. I don't know what the other one did, but I'm sure it was deserved. Yeah.
All right. You got to drive to Kansas City now?
Yeah.
How long's the drive? 2 days?
Yeah. It's about 20.
You stop somewhere?
I think I'll stop like maybe around Columbus or something. That's like half and half.
You go up and down?
No, it's like, sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Is it up?
I don't know. I don't have a phone.
It looked like a pretty straight line.
Missouri's south, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Columbus is straight across and down.
Like a, yeah, maybe a little diagonally.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I'm going to bring my dog and...
All right, have fun. You're going to be in Austin? You're just doing spots in Austin for what?
Yeah.
March?
I'm going to, yeah, March and April, and I'll come back in May. I like, you know, I was kind of like...
Austin's fun, especially March or April.
Yeah, yeah, because they have South By and they have Moon Tower, but that. Then it's also the it's like just great weather.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't get impressively hot yet. May, you'll start to feel it.
Right.
Like get out of there, get back to here.
Right. Last year, I made the mistake of staying through the summer, and it's so hot, and I think I want to start doing winters there.
Yeah, I used to go back to L.A. for winter. I do what we call the Irish roommates, where like I'd swap apartments.
That's kind of what I'm going to try to find.
Yeah.
Because I sublet my spot here when I leave.
Because you live with somebody?
No.
Okay, so you will pay more. So a New York apartment costs more.
Right.
It's not as nice, but it costs more. So you're like, you're getting a better deal. Like, let's say they pay $1,000, you pay $2,000. Like, you're getting a $2,000 apartment,
mm-hmm.
and you're paying $1,000.
Right.
And I'm getting a $1,000 apartment and paying $2,000. Mm-hmm. But it is the worst time to be here. So it's
one,
like,
and
yeah.
two, like the apartments and... In Austin that you're paying, they're so nice.
They're nice.
It's infuriating.
They're built new and they're like...
They're like, ugh. Or you could be like, oh, does it come with a washer dryer? They're like, of course it does.
Like, of course?
A dishwasher? Of course. Yeah, why wouldn't it? A pool? Yeah, what are we, born in the woods? Like, it's all
yeah,
so nice.
Yeah, we live like
nice.
Rats. I always talk about Adrian with it. It's like, we live really bad here.
We do. We live horribly here.
And we're stuck in it too, because during COVID, it was like, you know, people have moved to Westchester or other places. They go, why don't you, like, Westchester is a good example, or New Jersey. Move out. You get more for your buck. You get more apartment. And we're all like, we're not in our apartments. We're out doing stand-up.
Right.
Having fun.
And then.
But, and then pandemic, we all were
in our
apartments.
Apartments.
And we still didn't leave.
And we still didn't leave. So, I did like, a year in my apartment.
Whoa.
I took up painting.
Did you get good at?
No.
Oh, great.
I'm horrible.
All right. Thank you. Have fun on your trip to Kansas City. Where can people find you and stuff?
Oh, at Amy Shanker on everything. It's AmyShanker.
Okay. That's all going to be the bottom of the Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube. It'll be there. Click on her, follow her.
I'm recording my first album this summer. I'm really excited for it.
Where are you going to do it?
I think Chicago. Maybe here, but I think Chicago.
That's great. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I did it. Yeah, I did a set at Caroline's, and this guy came up to me after who owns a company, and he's like, let's talk. I was like,
who's the company?
It's Comedy Records. Do you know them? They're started up in Canada, in Toronto.
I feel like I might know them.
I bet you do.
Okay. That's great, though.
I'm like, they're very big. You should all know them.
That's a really exciting.
Yeah.
Are you headlining a lot?
I'm starting to.
Okay.
I did Zany's Chicago and Rosemont last summer, nice. And I was like, it's such a fun
Rosemont's
club.
Rosemont's fine, but Zany's is like, damn, it's so nice.
It's like such a narrow long. Yeah, and the laughs just like wash over you.
It shouldn't be that good because no one's on either side of you.
Right,
just
but
in front
it just
of you,
is.
But it really is great.
Mm-hmm.
I did the Vic last time I went with Ryan O'Neill.
Oh, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, but we sold out, but it sold out like 2 days before.
Uh-huh.
So not enough time to add another show.
No.
You know, we would have sold like 200 tickets. And, no way. But if we sold like a month before, it's like at another show, it's fine. But it was like maybe 3 or 4 days before tops. And I was like, can I do like a midnight show at Zany's?
Yeah.
And so we did. So I did like a whatever 1,200 seater. And then we walked across to Zany's and did like an 80 seater. And
it was
so cool. It was such a cool one too. I remember it way more than I would have two shows at the Vic.
Oh, 100%. Because it's like so intimate.
Mm-hmm. Versus like presentational versus super conversational. That's
I
great.
Like
Zany.
You can hear
special.
Everything at Zany's too. Mm-hmm.
You hear the bathroom
really
door open. So he's going in.
depending on, and if you're doing really badly, the drinks being made.
We used to do this thing at the Comedy Store. David Taylor would do this where the light would come on. Light was a star on the side over the piano. And it was a neon light, but it would buzz a little bit. And when you're really bombing and you're like looking to the right,
you just hear it.
And you're like, well, the light's on. I know I'm doing terrible because I could hear it go on. And it was so light.
That's bad.
If there was any noise in the room, you couldn't hear it. So it had to be silence.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And then Painter would come in and do something.
Man.
That's exciting. Let me know.
Yeah.
Do as many longer sets as you can.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I'm just trying to pick up as much extended stage time.
How many sets are you going to record?
I think two.
Two. Great. That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's so easy to cut with audio only.
Right. That's what I kind of figured. Like, I'm debating. I think that I probably will record like video, but just to have and maybe, you know, do something with it or not. Right.
Two, three. Just still
two,
cameras.
Three. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Really exciting.
Thanks.
Got a name for it yet? No.
I don't know. No. I want to call it Miss Teacher Lady, but like, because that's what my students used to call me. But it's not, but it's not all about teaching. So I feel like.
Yeah, it's always, I'm always torn at what to name it, because it's like, do you name it something from a bit? Or do you name it, like, if it is a bit.
Like, or
it
like
has
an
to, like,
umbrella.
Say something about all of it.
Yeah.
Or do you just name it, like, overall what this is? Or do you just name something else, like, Chewed Up is like, not nothing to do with, it's not a bit, it's just a title of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Comedy album,
live in wherever, you know,
right?
Like, there's so many different types of titles. I like something that if you didn't hear it yet, still sounds like an umbrella bit. But then when you do hear it, you're like, oh, the bit is from this.
Yeah, I kind of do like that too. I wanna. In seventh grade, they changed my name in the yearbook from Amy Shanker to Peeny Shanker.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know who did it. P-E-N-Y, but a shanker is like a sore on your dick, you know? And so it was like penis.
Dick sore. Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
And I was like, mother. And my dad, so my whole family still calls me Peeny.
No. Peeny shanker. It's a sore on your dick. I've had one of those. When you do anal, it pulls out too hard.
Oh, no.
Rips the head a little bit, so it looks like you have herpes, but it just heals.
But yeah. Well, herpes technically heals.
I guess so. I remember having it, and then Pete Lee, I'm like, nah, dude, what you're describing is not herpes. Like,
oh, good.
Man, it looks like it goes. Have you had anal recently? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah. Fucking Christian ass Pete Lee helped me through a fucking.
Wow, he would know more about anal from.
Yeah, that's right. Those guys never fuck vaginal.
Yeah.
Because it's evil. But good anal is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exciting. Let me know about it.
For sure.
I don't know. Have you back on or something to promote it? But yeah, I'm not gonna hold this till whenever.
Well, I hope that you do.
Thanks.
Really well with the shoes.
Thanks. Everybody follow her at Amy, S-H-A-N-K-E-R.
Yes, please.
On everything. Get off Twitter, but follow her on the rest. If you're on Twitter, follow her there. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly. Knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page. Bookmarking, she's so close now. This girl is half his age.
This flash is fucking killing me. Anyway, thank you very much, Amy. Guys, follow her at Amy Shanker, S-H-A-N-K-E-R. Amy is spelled with a Y because she's not a stripper. And also, if it was with an I, it'd be Ami, which means my nation in Hebrew. All right. That's it. Don't forget, sign up for my Patreon. Brian O'Neill was on last week. He'll be on next week, too. We recorded a couple while we were in Denver together. He was crushing it in Denver. 9 fucking sellout shows in Denver. Man, that's the best I've ever done there. And the crowds were fucking sick. Even the late Sunday show, the fucking people wanted to take a day up. Still, it was a great fucking audience. Denver's awesome, man. Yeah, but get tickets for me, Bobby Kelly, and Big J Okerson in Fort Wayne, Indiana on March 24th, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 25th, and Detroit, Michigan on the 26th. Tickets for me solo in April, Appleton, Wisconsin, St. Louis, Buffalo, and then Louisville in May, and Minneapolis and Chicago in June. Tickets are at arishafir.com. Guys, that's it. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please subscribe wherever you're listening to this, or even if you're watching it, please hit subscribe, and I'll keep bringing you more fucking ridiculous shit. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Been spending most of the night feeling in the desk. Got the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things is going, I don't know. Tell me. After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking. What's going on in the kitchen? But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.